you have to sort of realize, like, why do people judge you so much? Like, why do people judge us on what we do? Like, why don't people just worry about what they have themselves and then, like, build themselves up? But in fact, they're judging you because they're repressing what they want.
I guess I know that your journey is kind of so robust and, you know, you've done a lot of things and people follow you for fitness and for, you know, motivation and for beauty and your tanning tips and your teeth whitening tips and all that fun stuff. But can you tell me like a bit about how it started when you were in like Australia and you kind of seemed to me at the time, and maybe this is a wrong interpretation, but you were taking social media very much like as fun and, you know, you're having a laugh with it, which you still do now, but you weren't, I suppose, you kind of became more, your message became a little bit more defined, and with the development of your YouTube and ebook and stuff like that, it kind of, your message kind of resonated with me a little bit more. So like back when you were having fun in Australia, how did it kind of switch, or did it make a switch?
Obviously, like when I started Instagram, it wasn't meant to be like a blog or anything like that. Like it was just me, and then like obviously people started following. People started resonating like at the beginning because I was kind of like fun, carefree. I didn't really care what anyone else thought. I was kind of, but I think like being in Australia away from Ireland as well really helped that situation because, you know, I was, you know, like in a way, the thing that you like, the person you want to be sometimes can be like suppressed. And like when I went away and I didn't know anyone, and it was just like, God, I can be whoever I want. And like, I even remember being in a club one night. This was in Thailand actually. And I remember just like being like, oh my God, I can dance whatever way I like. I can go crazy. Like, nobody knows me. Like, this is so cool. But, yeah, so things were obviously a bit funner there. It was kind of just like, but as the time went on, you know, I learned a lot more. I was actually a bit more responsible for young women as well, because obviously it's mostly girls that follow me. So, you know, I had to be more cautious. And then I feel like what happened was people were messaging me like, oh, this really resonates with me. Like every single like book or interpretation or analysis that I had put up about life or about, you know, people, human behavior, everyone's like, oh my God, this resonates so much. And then everything to me became analysis. So everything that I've seen in my life was like an analysis. And I felt like straight away I could like put it into words that other people could understand. And then that could like inspire them. So I just like became obsessed with like just interpreting everything and doing like a lot of introspection on myself. And I just knew that I had, every time I read something, even if it's so sciencey or so, like, I can just turn it into, like, real life. And then, like, people will always message me. And, like, you know, those messages really motivate you and really spur you on. And, you know, they start to give you that purpose. And that's when, you know, things started to become more, I wouldn't say serious, but, like, I just became more directed with my message. And, I mean, it's still a bit of a, like, strange message because one minute it's basically everything, isn't it? It's not just like spiritual, it's like also the fact that we make mistakes, we get drunk. You know, I don't just go on and like do meditation and do spiritual stuff. I tell people like I go out and I drink, and I think that's,
but it kind of makes it's almost like when you started like to read, and I'm kind of like trying to track back like my memory when you first started to kind of put up stuff and like a long time ago, and you were highlighting parts in books, and to your point you were translating the messages or making them more relevant for people who follow you, and people were obviously engaged in that, but in the background you were still like having the crack, like having the fun, and you were still so relatable. So I think it probably was that like marriage between being so relatable and able to kind of break down these kind of philosophical viewpoints and this kind of you know, wording on human behavior that that people were able to engage with on, you know, a more relatable level. Did that come from like your parents, or like how did that kind of start? Because it's pretty unique for, you know, I suppose Irish people kind of overlook a lot of the things that we talk about in you know, spiritual awakenings and things like that. Did that come from your parents or your family, or where do you think that stemmed from?
Did the spiritual awakening come from the parents?
Yeah, or just kind of the general interest in human behavior.
Well, it probably just came down, like, I was so, like, when you're younger, like, when I was younger, I look back on it, and I'm like, what was I even thinking about? I don't even know what I was doing half the time. So I just been like, right up until I went traveling, I think I was really unaware of just everything in life. Like, I just feel like I was really ignorant to a lot of things. And when I went traveling, I was going through the heartbreak, and, you know, anything could have, it could have been anything from heartbreak to losing someone. But at this stage, you know, that's why I went into such a dark, dark place, because I didn't have any tools to deal with anything. And like, I hate the fact that, like, it was the heartbreak, because, like, I have no hatred for him or anything like that right now. But it's just like, that was what set me off into the dark hole, because it was just, I needed to know other people's behaviors in order to understand my hurt and understand other people's hurt. So the human behavior basically came from, I couldn't understand his behavior, so I needed to study his behavior. And when I understood his behavior and my behavior, that was when I got the closure that I needed. So I think that's where it stemmed from. And when I think a lot of people will say this, especially anyone who practices spiritual or who's into psychology, who's into anything, it's usually went through something dark to get them to start studying it, and there has to be like a purpose or a why behind it, like, and then you can start, like, especially because you can relate to everything.
Yeah,
so I think that's where, like, the obsession became, and then, like, I became obsessed with, like, understanding myself to understand all the actions that I had done, or yeah, like, mostly to understand my actions, other people's actions. Like, it's so much easier now to get by in life to know why other people do the things that they do, so I can just, like, someone will maybe send me a hate message or send me something, and I'll just be like, oh, I know why you did that. And that makes it easier to understand.
Yeah, so it's kind of like you're really being more empathetic with other people, because you're understanding where they're coming from, why they're doing what they do. Yeah. And I know that you talk a lot about that in your ebook as well. And so kind of the turning point was that, like, that bad breakup, or, you know, you were confused by different behaviors at that time of your breakup, and that kind of spurred you on to study relationships specifically in more detail and different, like, attachment styles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what your ebook is on. But yeah, you wrote the ebook in quarantine?
Yeah, like, it was just meant to be like something really simple. Like, I just felt like I had a little bit of information to help people, you know, understand their, like, their family members and their partner. And I just felt like, you know, it's not only a good time to understand them, but it's a good time to get a better relationship, because you're going to be with them 24/7. So I just kind of started writing it, and I was just like, I'll just write it and I'll just put it out there for people. And then, you know, it got a bit longer. And then I was like, oh, this is actually, you know, something that could really help people. And like, I could have went, I've already got like three more chapters, like, that I haven't like, that I've done after. So yeah, I just wanted people to understand that relationships are complicated just because the other person has totally different needs. And people just, like, are like, oh, they're this and they're that, but like, if you understand them and see it from their mindset and have more empathy, you can actually get on with them a lot better. So that's what I wanted to sort of portray in the ebook. And then yeah, it's, and like, a lot of people have really, really got a lot from it, which is like amazing. I didn't think it was gonna do so well. I just kind of was like, oh, I just think, like, this might help people, so I just put it out there. But yeah, a lot of people have, like, changed their whole relationship to their partners. They've had so much more open communication, and like, a lot of people have better relationships with their parents and stuff now, which is, you know, I talked a lot about my mom in it, because me and mom would have had, we always had an okay relationship until I left, and then I came back, and then so we kind of, like, were at each other's throats until I started learning about, like, her behavior. And then, like, I had, like, a lot of empathy for her. And then, you know, I understood what it was I needed to do for us to get on better. Now we get on great. So it's good that other people can see that as well. And I just wanted other people to feel that and, like, know that they can actually get on with their people that they don't think they can get on with.
Yeah. And it's like, it really kind of, even though I'm not in a relationship or, you know, anything serious, but it really, like, it, especially looking inwards and looking inwards to yourself and understanding the attachment styles and identifying your own attachment style, if there's so much value in that, because you can really understand and really work to change that behavior as well, like, you know, because we're all not perfect, like, none of us are perfect, so
yeah,
you know, you can really understand to change that. I see so much value in that. And I think that there's a huge misconception around and you might agree, is like that, you know, if it doesn't, like, if it's not like, you know, sparks are flying and, you know, it's really, really easy and, like, you know, you get off, you get on with somebody from the get-go, like, you have to put in a little bit of work and understanding and empathy and all of that. Like, and I think that your book really, really speaks to that as well.
Yeah. I'm guessing that you may be an avoidant.
Oh, no? My God. Yeah. Yeah. How did you know? Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, because I'm an avoidant as well, and I would use the same excuse, like, there's no spark, you know, it's very easy, so I'd be like, oh, they're not meant to be for me, so, like, you would constantly have these excuses in your head to, like, not get close to anyone, so I can say that you're, see that you're an avoidant just like me, and it's important to recognize those traits, because when I recognized them, I was like, well, I need to try a bit harder here, because when you understand, so basically you could be watching a movie and, like, you could see an avoidant and you're like, oh, it's not quite there, and then she leaves the person and she goes to the other person and it's like, oh, happy ever after, and I'm like, no, it's not happy ever after, because the next boyfriend, she's going to be finding something else wrong with him, you know.
So absolutely.
Like, if you're an avoidant, you don't recognize that you can go down that road of having, you know, these continuing relationships where you're constantly looking for something else, and you're like, avoidants are mostly unhappy in relationship, are the most unhappy, because we're constantly looking outward for something else, which I'm sure you probably understand.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely been a huge, like, realization for me. But for anybody, I suppose, who's listened to this and who hasn't read Sinead's ebook, or it's actually on audio as well, which I found really easy to like listen while I'm walking around. It's like, avoidant is, well, Sinead, you probably better explaining it than me.
I mean, I think like these attachments come from when you're like younger, but they can like change over time. And I really think my avoidance came into play whenever I got severely hurt and I just closed up and I was like, I just don't ever want to get close to that, close anymore. So it's just, it's sort of like, you don't actually mean, but this actually happens. Like, I have never been hurt since that day. You know, I've had many boyfriends since then, and, you know, I've used the techniques of an avoidance, such as, oh, maybe they're not right for me. Oh, yeah, he doesn't do that. He's not right for me. Oh, I don't like who he hangs about with. I don't like this. Like, you'll think of all these things to, like, get away from the closeness. Like, you will not let yourself be vulnerable because you just do not want to get hurt. And that is like, and unfortunately you just end up not really getting hurt, but at the same time you don't feel the full emotion of love and you're constantly looking elsewhere. So it's good to know that you're an avoidant, because you can realize this and you can let yourself be vulnerable, and you don't have to, like, wait for the person to have the most spark. You can try that little bit harder, you can be that little bit more vulnerable, because that's where it all is, then that's where all the love is. So yeah, that's sort of like being an avoidant stuff. Yeah, you'll just avoid closeness and at all.
Yeah, and just like cut things off and like suppress things. And then one of the biggest parts of it as well is like suppressing like your needs and your boundaries, and then it like blows up.
yeah
it's something,
like,
that we all
do you think that you'll like take a different step or a different approach now that you know you're an avoidant?
Yeah, I think I'm kind of like in the early stages of, like, you know, I think it takes a long time to make that change. I think understanding what's going wrong is the first step, and wanting to change is part of the first step. But I think just even that click to understanding these relationship styles and your own relationship styles and identifying with it, and obviously each of them can be to a various degree, you know, you don't have to be like one or the other, you can touch on some of them. But I think that I definitely absolutely need to just like slow down and like stop being so critical and like, you know, being more comfortable with vulnerability. But that's a lot of work, you know, and, you know, anything that you change in yourself takes work, it takes time, it takes, you know, energy on your own end. So it's like it's kind of something that I have to like take away at, I suppose.
Yeah. This is like the whole part of like self-love, when people think like self-love is like a bubble bath, when in fact it's quite gruesome. It's like gruesome work, like inner work. So self-love is like tearing yourself apart and being like, why did I do that? Why did I feel like that? And stuff like that. So that's kind of like part of self-love, is understanding yourself, but it's not as easy as people think. Yeah.
I know, and it, like, you know, people think as well going into therapy or, you know, counselling or whatever they might go to, that, you know, you walk in and you sit down and the person fixes you and tells you what you need to do and you close the door, like, and you're fixed, you know, but it's so much more than that. Like, it takes so much time and work and energy on your end. But I think going back to that, like, the critical step is to understand what the issue is. You know, to really understand that and to identify any problem or to understand what's happening between all the different behaviors. I think that's really, really powerful.
Yeah. And like, you can tell that to your partner when you do get with someone, be like, look, it takes me a little bit longer. Just don't crowd me. And like, yeah, like, you can just tell them. Once you know that, it's easier. The relationship goes so much more smoother. You feel like, look, just don't crowd me. Try not to take away my freedom right away. Like, let's just ease into this. And then you just kind of, you have a better understanding and they have a better understanding, rather than if you go and like, be like, okay, I need space. If they're quite anxious, they're going to be like, oh my God, why? What have I done? Blah, blah, blah. And then that pushes you away further. It definitely pushes me away further. So if you let them know at the beginning, like, look, I just need a bit more space and a bit more me time, like, throughout the day and stuff. And they're like, okay, I understand that. Like, before, it's just one big mess before if you've got an anxious and avoidant. And
it's you can educate the other person as well and help them understand you and respect your boundaries for the right reasons, you know. Mm-hmm. You're not just like giving them like the cold shoulder. Absolutely. And then you have like your brave retreats, which I know have been kind of put on hold or postponed for, you know, the current times, but I'm sure you'll be starting up with things again. So what's kind of your motivation behind those, and what can people get out of attending those retreats?
So the whole point of it was like, there was I obviously traveled by myself, and a lot of people would ask me, being like, I'd love to do what you're doing. And I was like, well, why can't you? And I mean, like, I think they're like, oh, my friends aren't coming, or, you know, I'm waiting on this and such and such. And I was just like, if I have like a retreat, then people will be more inclined to come, because then there's somebody there waiting for them at the other side, and then they can start their journey. So the whole point for the retreat is for like to start their journey. Like, Thailand was the first place I went where I started my journey, and I stayed at like Titan Fitness Camp, and I just, the social interaction and the connection with people just brought me back to life a little bit when I was going through something. And I just feel like I want other people to experience that, and I want them to have, especially when you go away, like, you can talk about anything. The ego was kind of like just completely gone. You can just let yourself go and talk about anything, and those things are really the beginning of healing all your like past problems or whatever. And I just wanted people to feel that, which is so fine now, because the girls on the Brave Retreats this year, obviously we didn't get to go because of COVID, they're all going away together like next week or the week after, and then they're going skiing together, and I'm like, oh my God, my work is done.
That's amazing.
So obviously we're all like in a WhatsApp group and stuff like that, and it's good because they can talk about their problems, you can talk about things so freely. Like, sometimes you can't really talk about those things with like maybe your parents or your friends from home, because like people just like, sometimes you just sort of need like the no ego attached. And I feel like that's what I wanted to give, and I wanted people to experience, you know, my workshops and stuff that I had made, and like the knowledge that I had. And I'm very good at speaking one to one. Like, I'm a very like healing person when it comes to like, a lot of people message me after they've met me traveling and stuff, and they'll be like, you know, like, you changed my life in a way. And I just felt like I had so much to give in that sense, rather than like online or like writing, because I'm not the best writer, and it's hard for me to get my message across. So like, I like the fact that I could just be face to face with people and to talk about things and just help that way. So I just really wanted that to happen, but obviously COVID.
I know,
but it's still in my path. Yeah,
and I think that's a really nice, like, important message. Is like, you know, we're going through this COVID thing, and you know, people are, there's a lot of conversation around, you know, oh, well, like, we basically can, we've, after figuring out we can do everything online now, you know, there's no need for us to go back to work or to go back to this. But I've always been a cheerleader of like, we need to see people, like, we need to make that human connect. Like, I just believe we need to make that human connection of that day to day, to your point, like the one-on-one connection with somebody sitting down, like, you know, experiencing their body language and all that. There's so much to be said for that, you know, as opposed to just making everything digital.
No. I just believe that we're all meant to be together. Like, I don't, even me, I work, obviously I work for myself, and working for myself is obviously something that, like, something that you want when you're like working in a bar, working something, you're like, oh my God, I'd love to work for myself. But when I work by myself, I realize now that I want to be around people no matter what. Even if I can be online, I still want to be in groups of people. So I just feel like it's so, so necessary to, like, just have that human, like, it's, the research would blow your mind about, like, human connection and how much we need it. And it's scary how much we, how little we have in this generation due to, like, just being able to be on our phones. And I definitely feel like this has taught me that, like, I definitely want to be, like, around people, especially in workspace. Because I was, like, trying to organize meditations there in the park in Dublin, because I really wanted to just, I just wanted to see people and talk and interact and bounce ideas off each other. And I just wanted that. And then I was like, I'm just going to do it for free. I'm just going to do meditations and a workout in the park. But the weather, God, it's not helping me, is it?
In Dublin?
Yeah. Some days are okay, but you can't like plan anything. Do you know what I mean?
So then
it's funny because I'm like, oh, and then it would make you miss Sydney a little bit too, you see, because you forget that the summer isn't the summer in Ireland.
You forget that there's no summer. I know.
I've never been here in the summer for years. Like, I was here last year for a little bit, but not as long as this time. But yeah, like, you forget that, like, you can't go outside as much as you think.
I know. I'm here. I live in New York, so it's just, like, so humid and hot for, like, 4 months. And I'm like, imagine life without humidity. Like, I can't even imagine it. Like, I've become so accustomed to it. And then if I go back to Ireland in the summer, I'm just like, oh, this is just, like, normal weather. But there's definitely, like, there's a massive, like, unpredictability about Irish weather. Like, it's just, it's truly unique.
Yeah. But it definitely makes me grateful for Bali and Sydney anyway.
I know. It's like these extreme kind of weather is, like, is, can be enjoyable. Like, to have, like, a solid winter, a solid summer is interesting. So one of your quotes, and I love this, on your website, is they vent their repressed desires in their form of judgment. Mm-hmm. Can you, there's a lot of talk about empathy in that, and I know that word keeps on popping up. Can you talk a little bit about that statement or that kind of quote?
You have to sort of realize, like, why do people judge you so much? Like, why do people judge us on what we do? Like, why don't people just worry about what they have themselves and then, like, build themselves up? But in fact, they're judging you because they're repressing what they want. So, like, somebody could look at me. Obviously, we get a lot of hate as bloggers and stuff like that. That's kind of, like, I've grown accustomed to it, which is ridiculous because it's like, how is this even going on in this world? Yeah. Like, it's like, who are these people? But, like, you know, they'll comment on everything you say, and you're just like, why do I bother you so much? Why are you bothered so much? And I always question myself if I ever did judge someone. I'd be like, okay, why do I judge that person? Because maybe that's something that I want. Maybe I'm a little bit jealous. And, like, I think we need to realize, I think a lot of people just don't question their judgments. Why, every single day I will question every single judgment that I make, or if I make a judgment. I don't make much judgments, but, like, if I did, I'm like, oh, why did I say that about him or her? Or, and I like to, like, question myself and think, why do I do that? And then you can, if you look inner, you're like, okay, that is a bit of jealousy. And but obviously no one ever wants to admit their envious traits. That's the thing. They just want to keep going on the judgment. And then you've got people that, like, are enrollers. So you've got people that enroll people in their idea. Like, look, I'm right. So say someone's talking about me, they need to go on and, like, an online forum or something. They're like, look, she said this. And then they need to have that feeling that they're right, because once they're right, they feel that superiority, like, they are right. But in fact, when you are, that's what I mean, like, when you're right, someone else is wrong. Mm. And that makes you feel superior. And that is feeding the ego. But once you realize that nobody is superior or inferior to anyone else, yeah, people might be less ignorant. People might be, you know, but, like, you can actually be that person if you read that same amount. And yeah, like, I've lost my train of thought and I think I've gone off on a little tangent, but you have to realize that people are just trying to be right, and because of their own envious traits. And when you understand that, it's very easy to take the criticism, because you're like, okay, I understand why they want to do that. And to be honest, I'm just like, if you want to do that, then that's like your thing, but I'll just keep doing my thing.
I know. Yeah. I mean, that totally makes sense. I think, how do you, if you're judging somebody, say, and you said you don't really judge a lot, which is great. But say, for example, like, what would be like an example of a judgment? I just don't understand. How do people make the correlation between what they're judging and what that means for them? You know, say if you were to say,
I'm trying to think of an example of like me.
Right.
Oh, sorry, say that again.
If you were to say, like, I don't even want to be mean or cruel, but I like, you know, like, if you were to say, see somebody online, say you are one of like the people who are giving you hate, mm-hmm. and they were saying, oh, Sinead doesn't know what she's talking about, right? Just say, for example, how does that person identify what's going on in them? Is it pure just like, where's the motivation coming from?
Well, see, that's a hard one, because then I think that's the lack of empathy when it comes to that. If someone's judging me and they say, like, because obviously people do say, oh, you're not qualified, you shouldn't say anything, blah blah blah, and it's just like, I'm not here to make money from the knowledge that I make. I haven't made any money from the knowledge I made. Yeah, like the first thing I did was like I wrote an ebook, and I had to ring my therapist to be like, oh my God, they want me to charge for it. Like, you know, my team, and they were like, and I was like, I don't want to charge for it because I'm not qualified. But like at the end of the day, it's just my view. And if it helps someone, it helps someone. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And they're like, oh, she's got no qualifications. But then there's people with qualifications that aren't doing it properly. And like, I'm only here just trying to explain in my own way. And if someone doesn't get something from it, then they should just not get something from it. Do you know what I mean? Like, and if someone I just feel like if someone gets something from it, I'm like, oh my God, it's amazing. And it, like, I don't need money for it. So people are like, oh, she's trying to, how can I describe this? She's trying to like fib them in a way. And I'm like, I'm not really trying to fib anyone. I'm just kind of saying what I feel. And like, I love when people understand, and I love that people change their life. Like, I've been changed. My life has been changed from other people on internet or in books. And I'm like, you know, if I could do that for someone else, then, you know, I'd be free anyway. So it doesn't really, I'm not trying to fib anyone.
I think it's
lack of empathy. I think like people are sort of looking at other figures and they're like, they're out to like do bad on the world. Wise, if you look deeper like into other people, like why do you think they're trying to do bad in the world? Like, why would they? I don't know. I don't see like bad. I'm really bad at seeing badness in the world. Like Siobhan always says this to me. She's like, somebody could punch Siobhan in the face and I'd be like, yeah, but what's going on with her head today? You know, like, I'm kind of like, I see the empathy in so many things. I'm just like, oh my God, but maybe they're really, something happened to them today. You know, I'm just kind of that kind of person. But then obviously other people just see the bad in people, but then that's their view. Like, go and see the bad in people, because I think like when you realize what anger and resentment does to the body, and you're just like, I don't want to be in that state. So I'd rather just be in my own state. So I just kind of, if people are judging, I just let them judge.
Yeah, and it, like, understanding anger and resentment, like, so you as a blogger or any kind of influencer, like if they get like hate, and obviously it's been kind of bit discussed more online with recent events, this like online hate that's totally uncalled for and pretty cruel, like pretty bottom barrel, like very cruel. Mm-hmm. So are you looking at that from a perspective of like, God, what is that person going through? Like, you know, it's more, you're projecting more empathy for that person as opposed to like being defensive. That's your reaction.
Yeah, like if someone like talks about me or hates at me, I choose three people. I always choose three people at night to give love and kindness meditation to. And I usually just do like, I just kind of give love and kindness to those people. And it's not even that, you don't wish anything bad on them. You don't wish them anything. You just wish they were just a bit more aware that other people have feelings, and other people are someone's mom, someone's sister, And once they realize that, then hopefully they will sort of like buck up and be like, oh my God, why have I done that? And then I always think one day they're going to reflect on those actions and be like, oh my God, why did I do that? Just like the way I reflect on my own actions from when I was young and ignorant. I always think like, oh my God, why did I do that? And then like I learn from it, and like you admit your mistakes, you can apologize, and like, I don't wish anyone bad, but I just wish them to be more aware.
Yeah, that's like such a lovely perspective, because it's so hard not to get caught up in all the stuff that's happening and say, if you see like a horrible message, and I know like another Irish influencer posted yesterday about like just horrible messages, like
they're
just
so
like
horrible at the minute, like I can't even, they're so bad, like it actually breaks my heart. And the worst thing is, like, I can very much handle it because I validate my own self. I know what I do every day. I get up every day. I try my best to like do everything good. And I think like, well, they get up and they go on an online forum and tear people apart. Then that's their choice and that's their day. Well, I'm going to get up and do this. And I think that the thing about it is that when they talk about me, it makes me always think like, if they're talking about me, they leave somebody else alone. So it's quite okay for me because I'm very self-validated. I don't need someone else's validation to make myself feel good. I can feel good in my own self. But when it comes to people talking about my family and like things like that, that really, I feel so sorry for my family. I feel so sorry. I always have to say that I'm so sorry, because I know what it feels like to firstly get attacked, especially when you, like, I've been attacked at the start and then I've had to make my way through all of this, and now it gets easier. Whilst at the start it was really hard, and it makes me sad that like maybe a family member or something gets like attacked, and I'm just like, oh, I feel so bad for them. I feel so bad that like they have to be involved in my life like that, and I hate that. And then a part of me always wants to like think that it's not worth it. It's obviously not worth it. Not because I can handle it, that's no problem, but like when they talk about your family and like they put your family down, it's just, it sometimes doesn't feel like it's worth it. But then if you give up, then they win, and they're not going to win.
Yeah,
I don't care what they say. They're not going to win. Like, they're never going to win. They can sit and talk about every blogger under the sun, and they can pick apart each part, but they're never going to win in life, because they're the ones that get up in the morning, and they're the ones that sit on an online forum and talk about someone they don't have a clue who is.
Yeah, so it's total redundant behavior, really.
Mm.
Yeah. I know, it's really heartbreaking, and it's also like everyone copes with it differently, and everyone is able to kind of have that empathy to say, God, like that person must be in a very bad place to be saying things like that. And, you know, you feel sorry for them, and, you know, you wonder how they got into such a bad place. But, you know, some people's reaction is to just be broken, you know,
some of the bloggers at the minute are so broken, and it would break your heart, like watching them be so upset. And it actually is really heartbreaking. And like, I actually reach out to anyone in that space and send them articles and stuff that I've wrote on the situation. So it is heartbreaking, because, you know, some people, and like, if you see negative things, it's so, like, especially the way they're talking about their looks and stuff, it's just like, why?
That stuff you can't change. Like, yeah, what do you want me to do about it? Like, I can't change it.
Yeah, it's rough, like, and then they have to deal with that, and then they have to go through their own hurt and their own. But if we didn't have those people, I always say, like, it's just like, if hurt didn't happen, the songs wouldn't be written. So I always think, like, my articles or my reflections or anything wouldn't be written or wouldn't be done by people like that. So I'm like, okay, I'll just use them in my life as a tool to get better.
Yeah. So what would you recommend to actively take care of your mental health? Like, you do a lot of reading. I know you do some meditation and some yoga. Mm-hmm. What do you see that's like, that people can start incorporating? If somebody's listening to this and they're saying, yeah, like, I want to be more empathetic, I want to understand human behavior, like, I want to be more like Sinead. What can people start to do to try out to kind of take care of themselves and to slow down and to appreciate life a little bit more?
Definitely think reading is probably the number one thing, like, that for me changed my life. And I think I always tell people, I'm like, what is your, I like, when I'm trying to set goals for people, I'm going, what's your ideal day? And like, they usually say, you know, they get up and they meditate and they think, and then like they talk about their early job. And I'm like, okay, so what are those things that you can do today? Like, you know, the simple things like meditate and reading, you can actually do, put those things into your day. So like the things that you think is your early day, you need to do now. And the most successful people in the world, like you'll always, if you read any books or anyone successful, any of your mentors, like all they meditate, they read. And I just think that is like the step, that is the key to success in a way, like bettering yourself by reading and meditating most days. And I just think, like, I don't know what I would do now that I'm reading, because it makes you understand people as well. So if people are nasty to you, you can understand their ways, and you can also understand ego. So a good book that I would recommend is A New Earth. So you can differentiate ego, and you can start doing things for yourself then, because most of the time people are doing things to please other people. And you need to think, what's good for me? Like, I love to get up and I love to like interpret things and tell people and show people how to, you know, better themselves. But like other people would be like, oh, she can't do this. And I'm like, well, I'm doing it for me. I'm not doing it for anyone else. So you have to realize, you have to make decisions for you and not for your ego. Like, I could, if you think about even like school, you go to school for your parents and you go to university for your parents, but like you never stop and think, like, what do I want? And I just think people need to understand what they want and what makes them feel good and what makes them feel alive. There's a lot of people like singers and, you know, people that don't sing because they're scared of what other people think. There's people that are amazing makeup artists who don't come on camera and talk about their amazing makeup because they're so scared of what other people think. And like, if something makes you feel alive, then you need to write that down. Like, all right, that makes me feel good. I need to take a step forward, and that's what you need to do, because that is when you'll find your purpose and find everything that you want in life, and you'll stop thinking about what other people are wanting for you.
Yeah, and there's so many of us that have that. They have, like, there's things that we're all, you know, we all have jobs, or, you know, we're doing X, Y, and Z, and there's something niggling, like there's like a niggling, oh, I want to, you know, work out every day, but I don't, or I want to be a makeup artist, but, you know, I'm scared. How do you kind of get over that fear of like what other people think?
You need to recognize the ego. You need to recognize that I'm not doing this because of someone else. I'm not doing this because of me. And then when you differentiate, like, I think most importantly, you need to journal everything. So if something that you like, say, for example, you start this podcast, it might have taken you a bit longer to do. You probably had the idea way before you actually did it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And then if you start saying, like, oh, I'd love to do that. And then you start writing down, what are the things that are stopping me right now?
Mm-hmm.
So then it's usually like judgment of other people. And then you need to go on this like judgment detox and be like, okay. Like, if you think about, you say your friend started a podcast, would you care if she started a podcast?
No.
Exactly. So like, I think you need to like write these things down and be like, okay, so
you think
that people care, but they actually don't.
Yeah.
And even if they do say something, you gotta just let them say it, because if you're doing something that makes you feel alive, at the end of the day, we're on this earth to feel alive. And we need to not be scared to be alive. So if something makes you feel alive, if this podcast made you feel alive, then you got to just keep working towards it. You got to keep going first. Why, like, sitting in your, like, just thinking, oh no, what if people think I am this and that? Fuck them. Who cares?
Yeah. And if what makes you feel alive,
this is why you're here. Just, you're here to expand, grow. So yeah, go for it.
Yeah. What helped me understand that, and going back to the book, is, you know, Eckhart Tolle was kind of my first like proper book that wasn't like fiction, I suppose. Well, maybe not the first, but one of the first. And just understanding, and for anybody who's listening, I'll put the any references in the description box, but just understanding the difference between like the ego and how to separate, you know, your ego, because all of that stuff is playing into the ego. Like, I feel like, so for me, obviously I love this podcast. Like, I love to hear about people's stories and to try and share like good messages and to try and help bring people value. And, you know, yet in the back of my mind, of course I have these thoughts, you know, thinking, God, you know, people will think that I know it all, or that I'm some sort of like, you know, qualified media like host or something that I'm not. But that's playing into my ego, and it's also their thoughts, their opinion. So why would you let somebody else's opinion? We can all have an opinion. We can have an opinion that we can have a thought about anything. So why would I let people's opinions in their head, which hold no value or depth, only that they're an opinion or a thought, to kind of, you know, put a blockage in front of me or what I want to do? You know, there's no, you know, you're not wrong and I'm not wrong, or you're not right. You know, there's no right or wrong between anybody. It's just a plain channeling of, you know, what somebody wants to do. And, you know, and as long as we're being kind and not hurting anybody else, I think it's important to kind of follow through on those things, to your point, that keep you alive, that, you know, ignite life in you.
And it comes down to like validation, like when we're like, especially Irish, we grew up and, you know, we were not really learned how to love ourselves and how to, like, you know, go by our own guidance system. So if we're kind of validated by what other people think of us. So if someone thinks we're like good, decent people and we're normal, then we're validated. But in fact, we need to self-validate ourselves. So if I validate myself, I don't need anyone else to validate me. So if someone is actually, if someone's like criticizing me, I'm like, I don't need that validation from you at all, because I actually know that I get up and I do my best to be good. And you get up, you do your best to inspire others. So like, what other people think of you wouldn't matter, because you actually validate your own self. And when you grow older, you realize that you don't need other people's validation to feel good when you've got your own.
Yeah, and it comes from and all your motivation of what you do comes from an honest place, and that you have integrity and you know you're being true to yourself and true to doing your absolute best. It's really important.
And it's okay it's okay if you do something wrong, because you can just reflect on it. You know, like, we're human beings. We have two brains. We have a feeling brain and a thinking brain. So sometimes the feeling brain takes over the thinking brain, and people need to realize that that's normal as a human being. Like, you know, that's why we drink. That's why we go out. That's why we, you know, drunk text and ex. Like, we have impulses and, you know, like, people don't realize that, like, everyone is like that. We all do stupid mistakes as well. And it's okay to have mistakes, because we can reflect on them and we can do better. You know,
admitting that you did made a mistake, you know, I shouldn't have done that. And I know you talk a lot about your past, and you know, you say you've done things that you wouldn't necessarily do now, but you know why you did them, and you know, you're not trying to, we're not like over here trying to cover up like our secrets or anything.
Yeah, because I think that's another thing, that if you're a public figure or you're a blogger and that, people think you're perfect as well. They're like, how dare she do that? And I'm like, I am a normal human being. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And like, we can mess up all the time. Like, we mess up on everything. Like, all humans mess up, and we're here to understand why we mess up. And we have to give in to impulses sometimes, because it's like there in our brain, programmed.
It's fun.
You know, exactly. We need to let loose.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. So before I finish up, because I don't want to keep you, but what would be, so you refer to the Tony Robbins' book a lot. Would that be like one of your number one, or what kind of top three books would you recommend? I know that's hard for you, but
well, Awaken the Giant Within is like the first book that I read, and it really opened up my mind. Like, it made me understand who I was, and I think that's the most important thing about it, because I didn't know I didn't know anything. I didn't know what was important to me, and that book made me feel like, what's important to me now? I can work towards what's important to me. So that's probably like the first book that I read, but it's really scary for people because it's really small writing and it's really long. So I would say that is one. And then A New Earth, because it sort of differentiates like your ego, so that you can understand like what you like, and you can understand what your purpose is, and you can sort of free yourself from what other people think of you. So I love that one. And the third book is there's so many. I think Laws of Human Nature is my favorite book of all time, but it's so, I hate like recommend it to first time readers because it's 700 pages long, but it taught me absolutely everything that I need to know about anyone and any human being. Like, literally, yeah. Someone can come towards me and have one conversation with me, and I'll be like, yep, I know exactly what their childhood is like, and I know why they do this and that. So that's really good to understand like humans a lot. So I definitely love that book. So definitely those are my three tops, I think.
And for the law of human nature, do you go back to that? Like, is it just kind of like an ongoing Bible for you that you kind of refer to?
Yeah, I go back on all of them. Like, I bring them all everywhere. I'm really attached to my books. It's quite worrying, but I go back on all the books. There's loads of notes written in them, and like, I can go back and put them in my seminars or put them in my own writing. And I just, like, I'm so attached to my books. Like, it's scary, but it's good to be attached to books and not like things, I suppose. But yeah, I always go back to that one. I always go back to that one. Yeah.
And for anybody who follows Sinead, you'll know that she loves her books and she is attached to them. She's not lying. I'm sure. I think you were saying that you travel with them with one suitcase. I was like, where does she put all her books?
I know. Well, I have loads of them at home, but like, that's why this year I was kind of like, oh my God, I need to get a place. Like, I need to get a bit, because I've so many now and I'm so attached to them. And I'm like, oh my God, I need to get like somewhere to live.
I know, it's nice to have like a little like library and to actually keep the physical books. Like, I know my mother is a big reader, and she give books away, you know, if she sees value, she'll give a book away. But I'm like, oh, you know, we hold on to our possessions. Maybe we need to figure out why we hold on to them.
Even if someone lives with me and they're like, can I read this? I'm like, no, it's got my notes, like in the notes. I'm like, in the notes, there's like, you know, stories about people. Like, I'll write like, if I find something that relates to like one of my friends or something that's really hurt me or the fight I had with my ex, I'll like write about it in the book. So I'm like, no, you gotta have it.
Yeah, that's a really good actually example, is to kind of almost journal as you're reading to kind of simultaneously relate it back to your own life, and probably remember it more if you do that.
Oh yeah, I think that's why it like absorbs in my brain so much, because I just relate everything to like my life or someone else's life or someone else's story. So that's how it sticks with me.
So where can people find you?
Instagram, Sinead Haig, which I'm on a digital detox today, so I won't be on there today. But Sinead Haig, and then my website, SineadHaggerty.com. It has all my articles and all my motivational newsletters are on there as well.
Awesome.
And my book.
Yeah.
My book.
And
yeah.
Your book. So you have the ebook, and again, I think it's important because a lot of people are audio listeners, so you have it on audio as well, which is really helpful.
Yeah.